Okay. Well, I'm glad that doesn't just happen in New South Wales, folks. I usually get up to preach on a Sunday morning and I have the same thing. The guys at the back are waving and I don't know what they're trying to do. So let's just pray that the rest of the week goes better. Amen. All right. Acts chapter 2. We're going to read a few verses there, and I'm not going to be too long this morning, but again, just thank you for the opportunity to be here, to be a blessing to you guys. I'm looking forward to what the week has for us. Most of my life's major decisions, God has brought about in this place. And let me tell you, this year is no different. I've come with my family looking for the Lord to speak to us. There's some things that we need answered, some things that I want God to let me know. And I'm just so looking forward to what God has for us this week. But I'll leave the introductions to men greater than I am. But turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. And I just want to give you a thought starting off this morning, because I know that the theme is stand. But you're going to need something. If you're going to have a desire to stand, you're going to need to make that decision. It's not going to just happen. You're going to have to decide. And in order for your decision to hold, you're going to need a little bit of resilience. And that's the title of the message, the teaching this morning is, you need resilience to stand. And we're going to get that from Acts chapter 2. And I want to, while you're still going, I want to ask you, do you find that you have resilience in your Christian life already? Do you think, beloved, that you're easily moved? Would you say already before the Lord that you have a resilient character? So let me ask you, what has your conference year been like as a Christian? Now, we have a calendar year, Pastor, right? I have another year, conference to conference. Right, and I gauge some of the things going on in my life from when I was here for conference last year. So let me ask you, what has your conference year been like from last conference? Has it been good? Has it been bad? Have you had maybe an average year? Maybe you'd say, Pastor, it's been a complete disaster. So I want to ask you, what's your outlook for the next seasons of life for you, for your ministry, and even your church? And it was Paul that declared to the Philippian church in Philippians 3:13, he said this, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Now, Paul may have an idea of what was coming, but he really didn't know any of those terrifying facts that we read in the Bible. And for you and I, the reality is this, that we really don't know what the future holds for the year to come. Now listen up. Some of you guys are going to have a fantastic conference year ahead. It's going to be full of highs, full of blessings. You're going to have those hilltop experiences. You're going to feel like all your dreams have come true, and the position you're going to find yourself in will be like a little slice of heaven on earth. Some of our young people are going to be expecting to get married, and some are maybe expecting children. Some of us are going to grow in leaps and bounds. We may lead one or more people to Christ. We're going to serve the Lord with a freedom and a liberty and a power that you may never have experienced before. Maybe some of you, our great God, will call into the ministry, praise the Lord. There's no age limits, folks. Maybe God will reignite the call that he has already placed on your life that maybe you have forgotten about. Listen, we don't disregard anything in the conference year to come. Maybe for some of you, your home life, your job, your careers, even your health will be the best that it's ever been. Some of you will have what I call a meh type of year. Well, how's your year been, Pastor? Meh. Not bad, not fantastic, it's just meh. Nothing, all good, but nothing to write home about. Do you know what I'm getting at? I think we've all had those types of weeks and months and things. Some of you are going to have a hard time. It won't be a disaster, but you will go through some things that I dare say, church, you would rather not have to go through. Some of you are going to be tested and some of you are going to be tried and some of you will go through some sort of tribulation in your life that is going to test your faith. For some of you, what you say you believe, God is going to put his finger on and say, okay, how much do you believe me? Has your faith heading into an unknown future? Now, we are thankful that we're all here together after, you know, another conference here has begun. But listen, are you prepared for the next season of life? And you say, Pastor, why are you asking us that? Because for some of you, you're going to be put through the ringer. Now, I know I'm getting on in years, but who knows what a ringer is? All right. All the bearded wonders know what a ringer is. For you, all the spring chickens are in another room, amen? Let me talk to Pastor Hernan, all right? A ringer is before we had technology, right? There's two metal tubes, and you wash your clothes, and to get the water out, you used to put them through and turn the handle. High-tech stuff, right? You know, for some of you, that's what your year ahead's going to be like. You're going to feel like God is putting you through the ringer. The trial of your faith will seem like it's more than you can bear. You're going to say things to yourself like, you know, how can I do this? How can I endure in the midst of this situation, in this tumultuous disaster? You know, I want to dig a hole and I want to cover myself up and someone just come and dig me out when it's all past. You been there? For some of you, it's not going to be a hard time ahead. It's going to be the hardest time of your life. I've had those. I think I have the liberty to say, you guys know that I was diagnosed with cancer a few years ago. Some of you are going to sit in front of a doctor and he's going to say, I'm sorry to tell you this, but you have this. I want to encourage you, whether you have a fantastic time ahead or a meh kind of time, whether it will be a hard time full of trials and testing and tribulations or an unmitigated disaster, when all is said and done, are you going to be standing for the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you stand for God in the year to come? Will the Lord find you faithful in whatever condition you find yourself in, beloved? See, it was the Apostle Paul that said in Philippians 4, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. And he says in verse number 12 and 13, for I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And then he says those immortal words, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. How are you going to do the things that God requires you in whatever state God thinks you need to do them in, church? Can I tell you this morning, my dear friends, that because God is not finished with you and God is not finished with your ministry and God is not finished with your church, you better have some resilience about you. Because if you're not, in either of a blissful, blessed circumstance, or in what you may consider hell on earth, if you're not resilient, we will fall in a heap and miss these precious opportunities that God will present to you and to your church. And knowing most of you, knowing this church, that is something that I know you don't want to come to pass. Be resilient for God, whatever befalls you. To stand requires some character. Requires some resilience. You know, the word in our dictionary means springing back, rebounding, returning to the original form or position after being bent and compressed or stretched. The sad thing is, you may have noticed with me that modern Christianity doesn't seem to show much spring back these days. It doesn't show much rebounding after a dramatic change or a circumstance. I'm tired of visiting people and speaking to pastors, and they tell me the same thing. You know, our church hasn't really bounced back, sprung back from COVID. Why? No resilience in some of our people's lives. Would God describe you as a resilient Christian? If you're going to make it through the next season of life better than you did in the past, you must needs be abiding in Christ every day, every hour, every minute of your sojourning here, church. It was M.L. Haskins who wrote that famous poem, Minnie Louise Haskins. She wrote a famous poem that she titled, God Knows. And she said in that, she said this, and I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown. And he replied, go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light and safer than a known way. So I went forth and finding the hand of God, trod gladly into the night. You need resilience in your heart. You need resilience in your Christian character to stand, folks. Acts chapter 2, if you're there already, let's read that together. He says, verse number 22, you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, the man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, praise the Lord, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. And then he says this, Peter preaching at Pentecost says this in verse number 25. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, look at this, that I should not be what? Moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh, look at this, shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to sin corruption. Listen, folks, Peter was preaching, he was quoting there in verse number 25, he quoted David, Psalm 16 in verse 8. David said, I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. You know what that is, folks? That's resilience to stand. My heart's desire and prayer for you, your ministry and your church, is that you would find resilience for your Christian life as you abide in Christ for whatever the next season of life brings. Let's just quickly pray. And I just want to give you six simple things that you can jot down that will help you build some resilience. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the Sunday school hour. And Father, just pray that you would work, even from this morning, Lord, that you would put on our hearts something that we can take home this week and build to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we need his resilience to be able to stand like he did. Father, we thank you, we love you, we commit these things to you. Have your will and way with it. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. Let me give you six quick things that are going to... Now, none of these are things you've never heard before, but I'd like to put you to remembrance about these six simple things, right? Point number one, God knows you by name. Remember this, beloved, there is never going to be a time, whatever happens, that God forgets about you. The Lord doesn't have the capacity to misplace you like we lose our keys. I'm paranoid about losing that little card to get into the hotel because you can't get into the lift, you can't get into the door, you can't get into the car park. God doesn't lose that. God doesn't lose you. There's never going to be a time where God comes and says, oh no, where did I put little Hernan? I set him down here, but now he's not there. He's gone walkabout. I've lost him. That's not God, folks. I can't remember where I put you. He knows you by name. You and every single person that has ever lived. God knows them personally. God knows them intricately. Why, Pastor? Because he created them. He created you in his image. In Isaiah chapter 43, quickly go turn. I want to show you this. Being Sunday school, I want you to get turning your Bibles a fair bit, right? So Isaiah chapter 43, all right? Isaiah here is writing to the Jews, but in principle, the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled this for us as well. Now, Jesus made this truth to us real to us positionally rather than practically, but the principle is there, right? In Isaiah 43, verse number 1, he says, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name." Look at this. Thou art mine. If you're born again, if you're saved by the blood of the Lamb, listen, whatever happens, be at rest and build some Christian resilience into your life, because you belong to God, praise the Lord. You are bought with a price, beloved, and you are not your own. You don't belong to you. And then he goes on in Isaiah 43, verse number 2, he says, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, thou shalt not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." Verse 3, "For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior." God knows you by name. Point number 2, build some resilience. Why? Because God is going to fight for you. Now, good or bad, whatever you face in the future, God will be right there for you, church. And if you ever get overwhelmed and you think you can't go on, God will step in and fight for you. He will not leave you to face those giants of your life on your own, folks. Exodus 14:14, "The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." Joshua's telling them, you know, God will fight for you, so stand. Hold your ground, Christian. Good Shepherd Baptist Church, stand and hold your ground. Like you have been doing for decades, amen? The flesh, the world, and the devil has thrown everything at this place, and we're still here, amen? Continue to stand fast. God is on your side. God has fought and God is fighting for you. In John 14:8, he said, "I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." Yeah, you're going to have some battles. They may be physical. You know, your health may take a turn. You're going to have some relationship battles, some spiritual battles. But God will stand with you and God will enable you. He won't leave you to face them on your own, and he will intervene and he will help you fight them. That's where the resilience is, church, in the truth that God is with you every single step of the way. You know, in Nehemiah's day, the Jews were rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem after the destruction and the captivity. And see, church, God called them to a work that was beyond their circumstance. It was a hard year for them. It was a terrible year. You know, rebuild the wall by being attacked from every side, from attacked from within and attacks from without. It was a hard year for them. And the Bible tells us that they feared the enemies, you know, that were opposing them, and that with one hand they held the instruments to build the wall, and with the other hand they held a weapon, they held a spear. You know the story. I mean, what a way to work, amen? Can you imagine the stress? But God knew their situation. God knew each one of his children by name, and God knew that if they were going to succeed in the task that God had called to them, they would need some resilience in their life to rebound from the ordeal and the circumstances. So what did God do in their life? He promised them something. And Nehemiah stands before the people and he declares to all the people, listen, don't worry so much about what's going on out there. And Nehemiah 4:20 says, "When ye hear the sound of the trumpet," I love this, "resort ye thither unto us." Listen to that. Stay where you are. Don't run. Don't go off and make some dumb decisions that will affect you and going to affect your family. Stand. "Resort ye thither unto us." He says, "Our God shall fight for you." Resilience will grow and build in your life as you acknowledge that God will fight for you, church. Your Savior will intervene in your life when he needs to. You just have to give him the opportunity by staying out of trying to run your own life. Listen, folks, sometimes we struggle and we have issues, not because God went hell, but we just won't get out of the way. God knows you by name. God will fight for you. Point number three. You know what, church? God thinks about you all the time. In Psalm 139, verse number 17, the psalmist says, "How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God." And then he says this, "How great is the sum of them." How great is the sum of them. God, listen, folks, God doesn't just keep tabs on us and gets to us once a day and that's it. I mean, he's God. Well, one of his non-communicable attributes is his omnipresence. He's everywhere present all the time. Now, if our God is with us all the time without any sort of breaks, how often do you think he thinks on us? Listen, folks, all the time. That's why the psalmist wrote, "How great is the sum of them." He's able to do that with every single person because he is God. You're never out of God's mind. So be resilient in whatever state you find yourself in. God is thinking about you. God is thinking about you. You're on God's mind. So be resilient and make a stand. God knows you by name. God will fight for you. God thinks about you all the time. Point number four, God has a plan for you. That should build some resilience in your Christian character because God has something for you to do. Be resilient, stand and fight for your Savior because God has something he wants to accomplish with you. As long as you're breathing and you're upright, folks, God has a plan for your life. God is not finished with you. God is not finished with your ministry. God is not even finished with your church, beloved. God has a task. God has a job. God has an endeavor. God has something he wants to accomplish with you and with your life. So listen, don't give up. Stand. Let me ask you, are God's plans for you important to you? I know you think that they are. So be resilient. Stand so he can accomplish them in you and through you. Jeremiah said this in Jeremiah 29, verse 11. He said, a verse that you guys know, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you what? An expected end." To give you an expected end. And look, I don't know about you, but I want God's expected end for me when I get to the end of this year and the end of next year and, the Lord willing, the one after that. I want God's expected end until God calls me home. Now, I'm not exactly sure what that will be, but I do know that it will be good. Amen. I have God's word on that, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. God has something for you to do. God knows you by name. God will fight for you. God thinks about you all the time. And God has a plan for your life still. Point number five. This one will build resilience for you. God is your refuge. God is your refuge. And we need to build some resilience in the here and now, Christian, because whatever happens, both good or bad, we have someone to run to for protection. He's always our refuge. Who else can protect us better than the immutable, omnipotent, all-powerful creator of everything, including you and I? God is well able to, church, amen? Be your refuge. Turn to Psalm 18. I love the way the psalmist describes the Lord here in Psalm 18. We're all right, Pastor? Yeah, we got to about 12:30, right? Yeah, all right. Everyone laughed. No one said amen, all right? So, almost done. Psalm 18, Verse 2, look at the psalmist. I love this. He says, the Lord is my what? My rock. Stable. He's consistent. The Lord is our firm ground. The Lord is my rock and my what? And my fortress. The superstructure to keep my enemies away. He's my fortress and my deliverer. God is my protection from whatever is holding me in bondage, folks. My deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust. I love this. He's my buckler. That's just an old-fashioned word for shield. A shield is a defensive weapon. He's my refuge. He's in front of me. He's the one that takes the fiery darts. He lets pass the ones that I need. But he's my shield. The horn of my salvation and my high tower. Oh, be encouraged, church. You know, build some resilience. Bounce back from your circumstance. You have a God to run to that has promised that he will protect you. God is your refuge. You've been running to God this year? The problem is, a lot of us are like I am, Mr. Fix-It. The issue arises, the circumstances arise, then I try and fix it, rather than running to God for refuge, who then will give me the wisdom that I need to do whatever he wants me to do. God is never our last resort, folks. He's the first place we run to. Whatever comes this year in your life, remember the first thing, a bad diagnosis, and you're going to say, I need to make the decision that I'm going to stand, and that starts by coming and kneeling at the cross. Because you know what this is, the foot of the cross? You know what right here is? Here is my place of refuge. Have we been coming to the cross? Lastly, the one I want to give you. Point number six is God is always with you. I want to reiterate this one. God is always with you. Because this is, I believe, the one that will give you the most resilience in your Christian life. He won't leave you alone even for a second, church. You understand he was with you before you were even born. That should build some resilience in your Christian life. That should strengthen our feeble knees so we can stand. This is not some gusology, folks. This is Bible. You know, in Jeremiah chapter 1, Jeremiah starts his account of the calling of God in his life. And the Lord, you know, God understands that Jeremiah would have an extremely difficult life. Jeremiah's life would be filled with heartache and with tears. And I mean, you know that he was known as the weeping prophet. And God wants to build some resilience into Jeremiah's life so that he can face and he can stand at the plans that God has for him. So God reveals to him in verse number 5 of Jeremiah chapter 1, God says to him, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Here's the reality of it, church. You know, God was with you before you ever took your first breath. He designed and he made you. He nurtured you in the womb and was with you right from conception. Indeed, God knows you very, very, very well. My wife tells me all the time, oh, I know you well, no better than God. You are in his presence continually. Sobering, is it not? You should build some resilience. Jesus is always with you. Not a moment goes by that Jesus is not with you. I mean, do you actually believe that? You'd be amazed how your Christian life changes and builds resilience and we get deliverance from sin when we realize that God is here. God is here, folks. I say this to my children. I say, when they're a bit older now, but when they were younger, I said, you know the key to not sinning as much is, what would you do if Jesus was holding you by the hand? What wouldn't you do? Hey, listen, adult. What wouldn't you do if Jesus was holding you by the hand? dare I say, we would all leave haloed, sanctified lives, amen? But doctrinally, that's true, folks. God indwells you. The Spirit of God lives within you. God lives in you. That should build some resilience. I mean, Matthew 28, 20, I know in direct context of the Great Commission, but practically, you know, that means that the Great Commission has to be fulfilled wherever you are. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you. Always, not just when you're fulfilling the Great Commission, right? He's with you all the time, even unto the end of the world, amen. God has been with us from the second we were conceived, and God is with us now, and God will abide with us for eternity. Never, ever alone. As pastor, when you do counseling and people tell me that they're lonely, I said, I understand that, but understand this. God promised you are never alone. God is with us always. What a truth that even death cannot separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So build some resilience in the fact that God is by your side nonstop. This church has a testimony of being a resilient church. Your family, your friends, and your church need, as well as other Christians need, to see you stand and go forward for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me encourage you this morning, church. God is not concerned with the pace. He's concerned with the direction. Slow down if you have to, like I heard this week. But go forward. You don't have to keep up with the Joneses. You don't have to do what others do. God has given you the task and God has shown you the pace. You just got to move in that direction. Move forward. Go forward. So my prayer is that over the next few days, there would be a fruitful time in your life, in the life of this church. There may be a time that you desire that going forth you would hold fast. You're going to stand and you're going to be counted for the Lord. Decide even today, church, that you will continue to be faithful to Him and to the things of God. Decide today that you're going to be counted and that you're going to obey what God says. That you're going to follow His word. Then maybe you're going to pick up where you left off and you're just going to start moving forward in God's direction. Decide even today. I pray that this week would be a week where God speaks to our hearts and that we will decide at the very least that we're going to be not counted with those that say, Lord, Lord, and does not the things which He says. You need to stand in resilience. You need to abide in Christ. And when you do, you know what happens? God will not allow your heart to be troubled to the point where it hinders and destroys your Christian life. That's why Jesus preached in John chapter 14. He said to them, let not your heart be what? Troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in. That's going to build resilience in your life, he's telling them. Thomas sticks his head up. Verse number 5. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. And how can we know the way? Listen, do you want to know the way to a resilient Christian stand? Verse number 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Listen, you want to build some resilience in your Christian life? Continue to walk with God. Don't drop the ball in your Christian walk. Close, have that intimate, close walk with the Lord. And listen, you'll be okay, church. You'll be okay. God will sort out what may come. Amen? Let me finish. You know, dear church, if we as Christians are going to move forward in this dark and confused world and actually accomplish the will of God for our lives and the life of our church, we as God's children are going to have to show some resilience in the circumstances of life that God uses to build us and our ministries. And that resilience will grow as you rest and you abide and you walk with the Lord Jesus Christ in the knowledge of who He is and what He can and He will do for you. So think on these things. In the good times ahead, in the times of great upheaval, and in the times of disaster, if they come, think on who your Saviour is. Think on these things. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, praise the Lord, think on these things. Those 6 points that we discussed this morning are chock-a-block full of Philippians 4:8. Look back and think on these things in the year ahead, good or bad. Amen? It was Elizabeth Elliot that said this about resilience. And I'm done. She said, "This job has been given to me to do. Therefore, it is a gift. Therefore, it is a privilege. Therefore, it is an offering I may make to God. Therefore, it is to be done gladly if it is to be done for Him. Here, not somewhere else, I may learn God's way in this job, not in some other. God looks for faithfulness." May you be a resilient Christian. May you continue to be a resilient church as you stand for God. Think on these things. God knows you by name. God's going to fight for you. God thinks about you all the time. God still has a plan for you and for your church to accomplish. God is always your refuge and your protection and your shield. And God is always, always, always with you. And all of God's people said? Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you this morning for just this short Bible study on just the desire, Lord, that you have that we would be a resilient Christian. Lord, help us to not be tossed to and fro, not only with every wind of doctrine, but with every change of circumstance. Father, we can't afford in these last hours of these last days to be Christians that walk by circumstance. So help us, Lord. Help us to have that resilience, that courage of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we desire to grow in that. Lord, we pray that this week would be a week of spiritual growth where you build something in your church, Lord, to help us to be resilient and courageous, to actually help us to stand. Help us to make that decision this conference year, Lord, to go back to our individual churches, to continue to minister here, but to stand in the resilience of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord. We love you. And we just commit these things to you in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you for listening, church. Pastor, over you. Thank you.